We consider certain events worthy of celebration. In our time of festivity, we establish appropriate traditions and customs which become important to us. Now, some of these occasions are of a more personal nature, such as birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, and retirements. Others are universal events, ones recognized and acknowledged by all of us. One such occurrence is the arrival of a new year. Now, on New Year's Eve, people all over the world gather together with their family and friends to bid farewell to that old year. We may have grown a little weary with it, and we are more than willing to let it go. Still, we feel that it deserves our reflection and our consideration. We feel it is appropriate to allow time to reminisce and recall, to come to terms with what we have done and what we have left undone. We revisit the past, recalling our blessings and counting our losses, certain there is value in all experience. And then we talk about the things beyond our control, the ones that affect all of us. We talk about the government, about climate change, the health of the economy, and of the people. Somehow it seems important for us to do this. Now, however, at the stroke of midnight, all thoughts now turn to the new year. Surely this will be a better time for the world and for all of us in it. After all, it arrives as an empty slate, allowing us to fill in the spaces. And so we wish each other a happy new year, convinced that it brings potential, possibility, and promise. We extend our hopes and our expectations to everyone, including us. While our intent may be sincere, we understand that we cannot actually guarantee happiness to anyone. Simply wishing someone smooth sailing does not guarantee that there will be no storms or detours along the way. Experience teaches that a new time brings a mixture of sadness and elation, a time of sickness and of health, lack and abundance. So when we ponder our intent, we may ask, would we really want to wish someone sunshine without rain? The farmer and the gardener, they would never do this. They understand that both are essential for the growth of the crop. Each has a message to give and, yes, a part to play. The harvest depends on both rain and sunshine to bring its yield to fruition. Well, I think this is how it is with us. A time of joy may carry us to the heights of jubilation and elation. A time of sadness may take us to the depths of sorrow. Each has a unique intensity of feeling. Each has a part to play and a message to give. Both joy and sadness are necessary elements to our growth and understanding about life and about us. It would seem that a few storms and detours are necessary factors in bringing our full potential to fruition. So let us not try to avoid certain aspects of experience, merely trying to attain and maintain an elusive state of happy. As we experience what we call the ups and the downs, we develop a certain attitude and receptivity, establishing our very view of life. Now, experience forms character, understanding, and acceptance. We determine if we build on solid ground or on the wings of uncertainty. Now, in preparing for today's lesson, I began to ponder the word happy. If I am wishing someone a happy time, exactly what is it that I am wishing? And how could it possibly last for the entire year? Well, the more I thought about it, I discovered that I needed a different word to express assurance and give encouragement. To me, that state of happy seems to be an emotion that applies to what is taking place around us at that point in time, perhaps lasting no longer than that moment. Life brings its mixture of rain and sunshine, joy and sorrow, meaning that we cannot always greet life in a state of happy. Sometimes we view life from the height of elation, and at other times from the depth of despair. My hopes and my wishes for family and friends, and also for all humanity, are far wider and broader than those fleeting emotions assigned to the human response to what is happening around them. I want to acknowledge something deeper for them, a more profound and certain response to the intensity of life. The message I want to give to my fellow man on New Year's Eve, that is, regardless of what this year might bring, there is an answer to any question that we may have, and also a solution to any problem that we might face. There is wisdom in us, which is greater than any storm the world may toss our way. Now, viewing life in this way, I feel more comfortable with different words, words like contentment, serenity, and fulfillment. To me, these are strong words, indicating a more certain basis to establish views and attitudes, a firmer foundation to build on. This is the state of consciousness that lasts not only throughout the coming year, but also into eternity. Now, to wish someone peace and contentment allows me to acknowledge that when life brings its mixtures of experience, it's okay. They will get through it. When I ponder those strong words, contentment, serenity, and fulfillment, I realize these are qualities of our divine self, our spiritual nature. We share these qualities with God. And so I wondered, when I gather with family and friends on New Year's Eve, perhaps my wishes are actually prayers. My prayer is acknowledgement that they are safe and secure in their divine identity. Regardless of what that new year brings, they will not be defeated. If they can carry this knowledge as their established attitude and belief, they will be confident and certain in their convictions. They will be the shining light to those who still sit in darkness, to those who have not yet heard the message, there is wisdom in you. Don't you know? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, understanding that my good wishes are in reality prayers of recognition do not mean that I can actually bring God to a person, for God is already there. I do not bring God to anyone, nor do I bring anyone to God. My prayer is merely the conscious remembrance of the omnipresence, the omnipotence and omniscience of God, available to all of us. This is universal recognition, one that goes beyond those attending one single gathering on New Year's Eve. The New Year does not just arrive for those counted among my family and friends in my place of celebration. At the end of the month of December, every single person on this earth plane turns the page on the calendar and discovers a new year. No one is exempt from the passage of time. Again, let us remember, this is a universal time of acknowledgement, and that assurance and encouragement are meant for all people. Extending my good wishes beyond my inner circle broadens my view of life to include all of humanity. The Bible tells us that we are to prosper and to flourish, that we are to live the abundant life. Again, we are reminded that this message is for all people, not just for the ones who happen to be familiar with this passage in the Bible. Now, I have always liked that term, prosperity. It's another strong word. Dr. Irvin Gregg, an early divine science minister from Denver, he defined prosperity as a state of well-being. This state of well-being is a place of high consciousness, and it is there that we discover contentment, serenity, and inner fulfillment. Dr. Gregg keeps prosperity in heaven. To wish everyone a prosperous new year acknowledges this state of high consciousness, extending an invitation to turn within and discover this state of well-being for themselves. You see, this is the true dwelling place of a child of God, and it is the destiny of every man and every woman to find it. When we extend prayers and well wishes to all humanity, it means that we have accepted the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. Jesus had this understanding, and he told us to go and do likewise. Now, when Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you," at first we may have thought he was simply addressing his disciples. However, Jesus did not direct his prayers of acknowledgement to only a certain select group of people living in a particular place in time and location. He did not mean his words to apply only to those lucky individuals who happened to be walking this earth plane when Jesus made his appearance. Jesus gave his message to all people, and we are told that those who had ears to hear received it. Now, the one who has ears to hear and eyes to see is Christ, the spiritual self. This one who knows himself as Christ is prepared to receive and accept life in ways that the world will never know. Now, I think that many of us are familiar with this passage in the Bible. Only the pure in heart shall see God. There may have been times when we ourselves have said that we wanted to see God. You see, we were encouraged by this passage in the Bible. Therefore, we ask exactly, who are the pure in heart, and how do they see God? Emmett Fox tells us that the pure in heart recognize God alone as the only real cause and the only real power in existence. No other agenda, no other awareness. He goes on to say that to see God is to apprehend truth as it really is. And this is infinite freedom and perfect bliss. Now, I admit not everyone who hears this message is capable of receiving it. Not everyone has developed the spiritual ear capable of knowing beyond language, tradition, and custom. Some individuals view life from the head, while others view it from the heart. Now, only those who view life from the heart, from the feeling nature, will see God and apprehend truth as it really is. Many individuals continue to search for additional explanations concerning life. And so they consider life to be a mystery, one that they must solve. They go looking for clarity and reason in the intense feelings of human emotion and response. Their place of consciousness is a divided house, sowing to the flesh of duality. We cannot count them among those who are pure in heart. So let us get back to Jesus and his ministry. Jesus traveled the countryside, sharing the message of truth with large groups of people. But remember, not everyone was capable of receiving the deeper meaning of his word. Jesus extended peace to all. However, many did not understand. These individuals continued to look to the world, probing and examining the movement of changing scenes and times, looking for a degree of happiness. So here we are again, longing to attain a state of happy. When we gathered with family and friends at the end of the year, not everyone understood that our good wishes are actually prayers of recognition of the truth of their being. They may simply consider that our good words merely conveyed our hopes and optimism that that new year bring them more sunshine than rain, more ups than downs, with clear sailing to last the entire year. However, some may have sensed the deeper meaning in our words of encouragement, identifying a more profound understanding about us and about life. You see, when we learn to speak from our heart, our words are sure and certain, and yes, there will be those who are capable to receive them. When we actually ponder what we are doing, we realize that every day is the beginning of a new year. Actually, we could name every moment a new beginning, simply because we have never lived it before. Each section of the day, every second, arrives as an empty slate, inviting us to fill in the spaces. So at the end of the day, how will it all turn out? Well, that would be up to us. Each must answer for ourselves. Now, the determining factor is our response to the experience, what it is that we do with it. I will tell you this. If we carry yesterday's attitude in today's experience, today will simply be a repeat of yesterday. This wisdom applies to all new beginnings. If we welcome a new year, carrying yesteryear's baggage of fixed response, misguided conclusions, and erroneous beliefs, then this will be our experience into the new year. This is law. It can be no other way. Now, as we enter each new beginning, we must arrive as an empty vessel, free of all those misguided thoughts and erroneous conclusions. We must arrive with a new attitude, one that is open and receptive to both the rain and the sunshine, to the ups and the downs, to joy and sorrow. And when each one does make its appearance, and it will, let us welcome it, knowing it has a message to give, one that allows us to grow and expand our awareness of life, building character and belief. And in time, we will cease to prefer sunshine instead of rain. We will no longer favor the up times, nor will we fear the down times. We will have no such judgment. We will no longer label joy and sorrow. We understand that they simply touch us in different ways. We no longer assign qualities to the experience. Just like that farmer and the gardener, we know that each is necessary to bring us to our full potential, bearing fruit compatible with the activity that sent us into expression. Today's lesson reminds us that regardless of the date on the calendar, this is God's day. A mind stayed on God allows us to ride the tide of uncertain times, not battered by the rotation of experience. Despite that appearance, we find us where we are supposed to be, doing God's work. Every second, every minute of every hour actually marks a new beginning. Now remember, the focus of New Year's Eve was to ponder what marvelous things the new year might bring. However, when we live each day as God's day, we ponder that day only. And now we ask, what marvelous things will this day bring? At a time of new beginnings, we tend to make resolutions. We resolve to do things differently, to improve us or enhance us in some way, or perhaps merely try to get us out of that rut we have so carefully carved for ourselves. So this morning, let us resolve to be the one who is pure in heart. Let us resolve to live God's day, mindful of His direction and His guidance. Be still and know is all that He asks us to do. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and listen. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we still our thoughts and quiet our emotions. God is in this place, the place of silence. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Leave your burdens at my feet. It's my responsibility to care for you. In the serenity of that moment, we are alone with God. We may enter this sanctuary at any time, feel His love, His joy, and the peace the world knows not of. Each second brings its own time of expression. It is new and fresh, inviting us to fill it with every good thing. When we rest in the stillness, the act of surrender is, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." And now we know it is actually God who does the fulfilling, God who does the work, welcoming us into His kingdom so that we may receive all that I have is thine. We walk in His presence, obeying the direction, turn here, turn there. When God does the leading, He gives us the words to speak, the ones that heal, inspire, and encourage. As we continue on into the new year, let us be about His business, fulfilling our role as His beloved child. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Go in peace.